I am sitting here with CZ Lumberg, and we're going to be talking about her process of immigrating to the United States from China, and also some other things that she'd like to bring up. First of all, just so we can get an established time period of this interview, I'm going to ask you, what is your birthday?
December 21st, 1962.
And where do you currently live? Just city?
In Marquette, Michigan.
Very good. And your occupation?
Professor.
Very good. We're hoping just to see some fun topics that we have so that I can compare it to what we learned in class and that other people can look in the future. So the first question, of course, where did you immigrate from and at what age?
I was born and raised in Guangzhou, China.
Okay.
I turned 20 the second day I was in Marquette.
Oh, that's cool. Did you come here by yourself, with family, friends?
I came here by myself to go to school. So I came to attend Northern Michigan University.
Very good. Really quick, just so we can get a good little baseline, can you describe your life in China before you came on over?
My life in China? Well, how much time do you have?
As much time as you need.
So right before I came here, I was a high school English teacher. I was 17 when I started, so I taught 2 years in China before I came here. I don't really know how much you want to know.
If you were involved in any kind of sports, religion that you had over there, occupations, clubs, kind of things where you lived.
Okay, because I was born in 1962, and then I went to school like everybody else. But then China went through a period that's called the Cultural Revolution between 1966 and 1976, when a lot of schools were closed and not too much was happening in schools. So even as students, I could say we didn't learn much. We did a lot of farm work and factory work, actually, to learn from the farmers and the workers. The idea was that we would learn practical skills rather than book knowledge.
Very good. Oh, and I just speak up a little bit. You are very soft-spoken. What did your parents do?
My parents were physics professors.
Very nice. And how did they feel about you coming over here to the United States?
Well, actually, my dad was the one that encouraged me to come here because he was a visiting professor at Wayne State University. And then when he came back home, he said to me that because I was teaching English at the time, he says, as a student of English, you should really go to the place where they use the language and immerse yourself in there. So he was pretty much the person that arranged for me to come here because he had been to Marquette while he was at Wayne State University, and he came up here for a vacation in the winter, and he thought Marquette is very quiet and safe.
That it is, actually.
Very nice environment for his daughter to go to. So she would just be studying and not doing much else.
When you were coming on over, was there anything that you found that was interesting about the process of coming in?
The process of coming.
Yes. The going through customs, the paperwork, all of that.
Sure, that was definitely interesting because before I came to the U.S., I had only traveled once by myself in my own country. So I wasn't a traveler. So I was definitely very nervous. And I remember I took a train from Guangzhou, China to Hong Kong. And then from Hong Kong, I boarded a plane to Tokyo. And then from Tokyo to Chicago, I took a Greyhound bus to Marquette.
I think you knocked out all the major modes of transportation. Maybe not a ship.
Not a ship yet. Right, so the first thing I encountered was leaving China at the customs. They had to open my suitcase and check everything I don't know what they thought I was taking out of the country. Another interesting thing was getting to Tokyo and trying to go to the bathroom. I had never seen those women, men sign before, of course, and then I didn't know Japanese. And so I had to watch to see who goes where.
Since you've been here, have you noticed any customs that seem really off here in the United States versus what you were used to then?
Well, see, that is a difficult question for me to answer now because I've been here for so long. So everything seems normal now, but I'm sure back then a lot of things were very strange.
Was there anything when you came on over that kind of helped you transition into society here in the United States? Like organizations?
Well, I mean, I knew a little English when I first came here, and then at the time there was a local chapter of the U.S.-China People's Friendship Association. I believe it was a kind of a club or local organization organized by a history professor. His name is John Sari. He has since retired from NMU. He used to teach Approaching China and other Chinese history course here, so he was heading up that organization, and that definitely, in fact, the organization sponsored me in a way because they helped me find lodging in Marquette.
Well, that was very nice of them.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any social, economic, or political changes that you've noticed in the U.S. since you've been here?
Wow. That is a big question, isn't it?
A lot of these questions are kind of big.
How many presidents have we gone through since 82? even fashion, right? I mean, I've been here for a long time.
When did you actually come to the U.S., just so I have that written down again?
December 82.
1982?
Yeah. And going back to your previous question, the U.S.-China People's Friendship Association really helped me. And then there was a lady, she was a member of the club, and she pretty much established a scholarship at NMU that would help pay for my tuition here.
That's nice.
Her name was Alona Anderson. And I've always referred to her as my American mom.
Very nice. Now, I'm also interested with your husband because he runs the Buddhist temple mm-hmm. here in Marquette. Did you meet him here, or mm-hmm. did you,
I met him at NMU. People always think that maybe I influenced him since I'm from China and he's from Minnesota. And but really, no. He told me that he was raised as a Lutheran, and then when he went to college, he started to read books on different religions and somehow was attracted to Buddhism, and he started the Buddhist temple here.
And that's very interesting. Like I had mentioned prior to actually turning on the recordings, sitting in class and having somebody go, "How do you think Marquette would react if we had one?" and telling them we do. And, you know, it's interesting, I've lived in several places mm-hmm. around the U.S., and they're actually quite common. It's mm-hmm. not as rare as you think. They just tend to be very quiet, so you don't
notice. Yeah, they are very quiet people.
Is there anything, and like you said, you've been living here for a long time, mm-hmm. but I know you do go back to China mm-hmm. to visit your family. Is there anything that you notice here in the U.S. that kind of brings back that, do we have anything here that's reminiscent of the vibes of China here in the United States? Besides the bad food knockoff?
Well, I mean, China, after the Cultural Revolution ended in 1976, China really opened its door to the outside world. And you could say that it has changed a lot. China has changed a lot, and in fact, it's becoming more and more, I would say, like the U.S. in many different ways.
Is there anything that you miss about your life in China that's just not the same here in the United States?
I suppose you could say language. food.
I keep getting told I need to try real Chinese food.
And the cultural, I guess, the culture, customs.
Lately, we've just heard in the past few weeks Obama's entire switch to the immigration policy. Mm. As you know, he is green-lighting lots of illegals to become legal citizens mm-hmm. in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Of course, every president, like you said, you've gone through several mm-hmm. since 1982 mm-hmm. being here. And so I'm sure you've maybe kept or heard at least some of the immigration policy that's mm-hmm. changed here in the United States. Do you have any... do you have any... kind of issues that you think are important that this government needs to address with the immigration policy, and maybe reference to your own or other stories you've heard?
Well, I think probably compared to many other countries, U.S. is quite open-minded about the immigration issue. I do think that what Obama is doing is good because the children of these illegal immigrants they should not be punished. And immigrants, I mean, I think that the reason U.S. is such a great country is because of a lot of contributions made by the immigrants. So I hope maybe one day we'll be world citizens instead of citizens of this country and that country.
I hope for the same thing, and that's definitely been a big pull. It's more of a global citizenship. Mm-hmm. Before I go into any more topic things, is there anything that you would like to talk about that would be on this record? I know that in your classes, especially your Chinese one I was mm-hmm. sitting in, you like to bring some of the cultural influence mm-hmm. of China, so we learned. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you'd like people to know about China?
Well, probably a lot, but it's hard to come up with something in such a short time. Yeah. I've always felt that if we could somehow combine the U.S. and China, then in education, in customs, in almost anything, that would be good. Then we would make something really good out of these two countries. Or the people's way of thinking. Sometimes we say the West way, the Western way is probably linear, and then the Eastern is circular, and if we could somehow put them together, I don't know, be a square, I don't know.
One thing I definitely wanted to get on this record, you had talked about it, is why you wanted to start the Chinese class mm-hmm. here at Northern. I think that's a great way of bringing in the culture from China mm-hmm. to make sure we have something like that here mm-hmm. at NMU. Mm-hmm. So if I could get you to go into that, just a little bit of why you...
Okay, well, I think that goes back to my earlier point, is if I could somehow combine the West and the East somehow, then we would be at a better place. And I think that's why I was very interested in creating Chinese language course, because I feel as a university in the 21st century, we should really teach languages, not just the Western part, but also since we don't have any other, although now we also have an Arabic class at NMU, that's really good.
Yeah, I had heard about that. I knew somebody who was going into it, and I was like, good luck. I enjoyed the Chinese one, but that might be a little bit more of me. Their writing's really confusing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just for anybody. It's just the more you know about different things.
And I think it's important to step out of your comfort zone
right.
and try something new.
Right.
My parents were one who were very much, why are you taking Chinese? That's insane. Why would you ever do that to yourself?
Right.
But yeah, I think we are definitely moving more to mm-hmm. this global idea, so if you can stretch out. And China mm-hmm. is the biggest country, as mm-hmm. far as I know, in the world, mm-hmm. especially population-wise. Mm-hmm. And so to say that we can only deal with this small little mm-hmm. western part of the world, mm-hmm. because let's face it, anything below Texas doesn't really speak English either. So you just have Europe and a little bit of the U.S. and a little bit of Canada. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the world speaks all these other languages. Mm-hmm. I also think it's kind of sad that in the U.S. we don't teach secondary languages as early. Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's changing. I was just at a conference. It's called the ACFO, American Council of Teachers of Foreign Languages.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of presenters are actually talking about how Chinese immersion programs are popping up everywhere in the U.S. So that's a good thing. I really think that we should, in the U.S., we should encourage students to learn a second language.
I'll go further and say not necessarily Spanish. They're too close, I think, if you do a
If it's just Spanish, that would be good. I think everybody should really.
I took 3 years of Spanish. I don't remember a single thing of it. I take one semester of Chinese, and I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I admit, though, over the summer, I was like, oh boy, I need to study. What exactly, and if you remember, are you a citizen currently of the United States? When did that come about?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, my God. I cannot remember. Probably in 93. I'm sure it was after my daughter was born.
And what was that process like? Do you remember? I'm sure it was long and painful.
Yeah, there was, I guess the painful process was the filling out all these forms and having to go through all these hoops. I remember I had to take an English test, actually.
Did you pass?
I did pass. In fact, the examiner, after she heard that I am actually an English professor, she just stopped. She says, oh, we don't have to do this.
Well, I can still imagine that it would be very, very nervous. I remember when, I'm terrible with names. Was it Chen, the visiting professor that was
Chen,
here?
Professor Chen.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You could tell he was almost nervous to speak to all of us, because you get put on the spot.
Sure.
So it's always nice to know that professors of English have the same anxiety students of Chinese do.
Sure.
My mother went and stayed with a family in Japan for 2 weeks. She stayed with them, lived in their house. They took them out to dinner. They never spoke to her.
Okay.
She was like, this is terrifying. She knew none of the foreign language. She was there with Girl Scouts.
Oh.
The last day she's there, they spoke to her, and she found out they spoke really well the entire time.
Oh.
But they were so nervous that for 2 weeks,
they didn't speak
to her. She was writing, I'm lonely here. which I always find funny, because I always remember that every time. I'm like, oh no, what am I going to say?
Yeah. Well, you can actually say a lot with gestures and your smiling face.
It's true. I worked in a house in Savannah. I was a tour guide through a Victorian house. And we'd get people who didn't speak any English.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to point and kind of nod. You can communicate.
Yeah.
Very limited, but you can. Did you find, when you were immigrating to this country, any kind of discrimination or anything like that?
I guess I haven't encountered any outright hostility, but I would say that whatever I encountered was a result of the person's ignorance, maybe. Like, we used to have air base here, and I think there were spouses from foreign countries, perhaps from Korea. I remember going to Shopko that the salespeople would usually kind of look at me in a funny way, or in a way that I don't think they think I speak English.
You speak better English than I do, so congrats.
And then I remember taking a taxi in Detroit, and the taxi driver just was so surprised. Wow, your English is so good. Okay.
I've lived in Detroit. You get a nice little mix. I swear every culture and every country has a small little region.
That's why I say it's all a result of ignorance. People don't understand, don't know, and that's why it has, I don't know if it's my mission, or I have always been very interested in I guess, promoting multiculturalism and especially letting people know about the Chinese culture and Chinese language. So that when my kids were going to school, I would go to school to talk to the teachers, and teachers would invite me to go to do programs on Chinese New Year and Chinese festivals. And so I think just people need to know more.
Then do you find in this country, we're a nice mix of all these different mm-hmm. ethnicities, yeah. countries coming over. Do you kind of find it fun to learn about other
cultures? Oh, definitely.
Cultures?
Definitely, yeah. Whatever chance I get, I always host international visitors. Like I'm part of the WIN program at NMU, is the Wildcat International Neighbors Program. International students are partnered with local people. So right now I have two students partnered with me, one from South Korea, one from Nepal.
That must be interesting.
Yeah, and then the high school, every now and then, in fact twice a year, they would host some student from South America. And since my younger daughter's learning Spanish, we always host a student for a week whenever they come.
Oh, that's really, yeah. really interesting. Mm-hmm. And of course, if any questions you don't want to answer, you're completely welcome. Mm-hmm. Being so interested in having this global community, mm-hmm. after the events on September 11th, mm-hmm. when there was this, at least I remember it, there was this huge thing about against the Arabic and mm-hmm. Middle Eastern mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that? I don't think it's founded anyway.
Right, definitely not. I remember, when was it? Not last semester, maybe two semesters ago, I had a student from, is he from Turkey? I think he was from Turkey. Yeah, he was telling me about how he was perceived, like he had a beard and he would always have to shave it before he went traveling.
That's a shame. Mm-hmm. Was there an interesting shift in how the U.S. treated? Because I remember up to that people being very accepting of all the different countries, mm-hmm. For the most part. Mm-hmm. You always heard, you know, mm-hmm. fringe stories. Mm-hmm. But after that happened, it's almost like mm-hmm. they shut a gate down. It's like, mm-hmm. unless you're from this part of the
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was it shocking to see the U.S. switch like that?
Yeah, I think it was, maybe it was a natural reaction for anybody, because, again, it's because we don't understand. So the more we learn about the Arabic, the Middle East, speaking for myself, I never really used to pay attention to what was happening there. I knew there was oil. But other than that, I have no idea, but now I'm definitely more in tune to what's going on.
Like I said, I'm just taking notes.
Yeah.
When that had happened, I had just come out of high school, so it was mm-hmm. weird to go from the high school shift to mm-hmm. all of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that was weird, because I graduated in mm-hmm. 2000, so mm-hmm. I mean, I was right there.
Mm-hmm.
My Girl Scout troop in 2000 mm-hmm. went to New York, and there's a picture of all of us standing mm-hmm. in front of the World Trade Center,
mm-hmm.
and then to see all that come across was mm-hmm. just terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if a person is just keeps on wanting to learn, I really don't think we should shut ourselves off. Keep an open mind. Last semester, one of my students went to Qatar, and before she decided to go there to teach English, I had no idea where this place was. Well, I mean, I sort of knew where it was, but not exactly and what it was like. So because of her, I went online and I learned about this place. And then this semester, I have a student from Puerto Rico in my Chinese class.
Well, that must be interesting.
And I never really thought about going to Puerto Rico, but because of him, I'm now thinking, hey, maybe I should go there. So I'm learning about another place. I wish everybody would do that, I guess, to not to be narrow-minded.
I've actually been to Puerto Rico. It's very lovely. You really
mm-hmm.
should go. I really do look forward to traveling more around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to 47 of the 50 United States.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, mm-hmm. England, Amsterdam, mm-hmm. and a few other places.
Oh, it, I mean, not everybody's going to be able to afford to go every places, right? But we can still read about it. We can still talk to people about it.
Going back a little mm-hmm. bit, because your dad came over here, I'm sure he told you about his experience mm-hmm. coming over to the U.S. Did you have any expectations before you actually came here of what it would be like?
Funny to say, I really didn't. I think at the time, because I was almost 20, even though that sounds kind of old, but I was really quite naive. And then I believe I was pretty much in shock. Even though I decided to come here. I mean, he didn't just say, you go there and I have to go, but it was my final decision to do this. But still, I was numb. I didn't know what to expect, because at the time, we didn't have, not like now, the students who come from China to the U.S., they know more about the U.S. than some Americans do, I think.
Probably.
Because... But at the time when I came, I didn't know anything.
And what was your first winter like up here?
Well, I came in December.
Oh, so you arrived in this.
I arrived in snow. And, of course, I didn't know how to walk. I get lost once I get out of the building because it's all white. And where do you go? All the roads are white. And I came from a tropical area. Guangzhou is, I would say, similar to Florida climate-wise. Had not seen snow before I came here.
Desi, my fiancé, mm-hmm. who was also a student in your class, came from the Carolinas, so right down in that tropical region. His first winter up here, he ran outside, no coat, no hat, no gloves, nothing, made two snowmen and a snow angel. It was great. He was 25 years old and acting like he was about 5 years
old.
But I think it's fun when you come up here and get to see snow for the first time.
Yeah.
Just double checking, making sure I mm-hmm. have anything here. So, since you've been here, have you had any other jobs besides teaching, or has that been the only thing that you've done?
No, I have lived a very sheltered life, I guess. I came here, I went to school, from one school to another, and then to another.
And now you're a professor, so school.
In fact, all my life, ever since the minute I was born, I was with a school, because my parents were professors, and in China, you live on campus.
Oh, that's interesting. That
I mean, the university is kind of like a college town, mm-hmm. so I've never left a campus.
What would you do with yourself if you had to?
I would like to. In fact, lately I've been thinking maybe I should go do something else so that I can see how other people live.
My dad always said, if you have to get a job, get a different job than what you did before.
Mm-hmm.
So my entire life growing up, I've never had the same job twice. Okay. And now I'm finally settling down, going like, now is time for the long-term job.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what I could do besides being a teacher.
Well, we'll miss you when you're gone. I cannot keep this lead from breaking, which is weird because I normally don't have that problem. So just to recap on a few of these organizations to make sure I have them mm-hmm. That helped you over here. Mm-hmm. You had the
U.S.-China People Friendship Association.
Which is right here. And that was run by, what was the teacher's name?
John, J-O-N, S-A-A-R. S-A-A-R-I, I believe that's how you spell it.
Okay. And you also, there was Alona Anderson, was that L-O-N-A?
I-L-O-N-A, and Anderson is a S-E-N.
Okay. Oh, want to make sure I have those while I was thinking about them.
In fact, Alona and I recently did a storycording. I don't know if you know about them.
No.
It's a NPR, public broadcasting. I don't think it's part of NPR. But anyway, StoryCorp is a organization that goes around recording people's stories. And all these stories are archived in the Library of Congress.
Oh, what was that like?
So the two of us just, because the bus, the recording bus, they travel to different places, and was in Marquette. I think it was in the summer, toward the end of the summer. And it was Alona's idea, actually. She wanted us to go and talk about how we met and our relationship and friendship and whatnot.
Oh, cool.
So that.
We'll include that in the thing, so if people want more information, they can find that interview as well.
Library of Congress has our recording.
And now you're going to have one in the NMU archives.
I was just thinking about that, how strange all of a sudden. I must be getting old. Everybody wants to archive me.
No, when we were told this assignment, it was like, I know who I can get. And Tess was like, oh, you took mine. But it worked out okay.
Yeah.
What kind of recreational activities do you find yourself enjoying?
Oh, wow. I like to play balls. I play badminton, tennis, ping pong. Those are the three things I am currently playing, I guess. I used to play volleyball and basketball.
So you like almost all sports, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't you play baseball too at some point?
No.
Maybe I'm just remembering class.
No. I was almost going to be a professional badminton player. Because that was during the Cultural Revolution when nobody was studying. And so my dad thought, since I had so much time, but I'm benefiting from that now because I can play. Nobody can beat me.
Well, I know they do badminton classes on campus. Do you ever go down and challenge the students just for the fun of it?
They're not good. Not good enough.
Yeah, I've never been an athletic person whatsoever. have to pardon me. How often do you keep in contact with your family that's still over in China?
Mm.
What methods do you use?
Well, my parents are both gone, but when they were living, we used to visit, and when I first came here, I was writing letters to them once a week because it would take 7 days for a letter to travel from this place to that place across the ocean.
That's actually not that bad.
Yeah. And then no phone calls because phone calls were very expensive at the time. So I used to write letters, and now I still have stacks of letters that I kept that my parents wrote for me. Nowadays, there's the computer, there's the internet, so you can, I can keep track of my friends, and my brother travels back there every now and then, which is...
Correct me, of course, if I'm wrong. I know that China has locked out a lot of the internet.
Facebook is not there, but people jump over the wall, the great firewall. But Skype...
Okay, so there are things like that that are still allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, there actually is a, as they put it in this country, of course, the Chinese Facebook.
Yeah, there is a platform called WeChat, WeChat. And I'm on there, too, with my friends. And it's a very convenient. You can video chat, you can... do phone calls, you can send messages. wherever you have Wi-Fi.
Okay. And I just have to ask, because I occasionally like reading the weird news. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the actual news is far too depressing. And so I do occasionally catch wonderful news that's coming out of China. Mm-hmm. And some of the great things that I've heard in the past few years is things that China's outlawing as being rather odd. Mm-hmm. Fantasy has been outlawed. Time travel has been outlawed. How do you feel about that kind of news coming to the United States from China?
Well, I think China is trying to figure things out. That's why it has been a closed society, closed country, and now it's opening. And so sometimes we don't know what to do with ourselves when we are all of a sudden, let's say, put in a pile of candy, and then how much do you eat, and do you not allow this kid to eat, and that sort of thing. So the government, in a way, is still perhaps playing the role of this parent, and I need to tell my children not to do this because this is not good for them. Of course, children will rebel.
Now, your husband practices, I know it's Zen Buddhism, and if I'm right, it would be the Mahayana?
No, or just the Zen Buddhism.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I have no idea. But it's a tradition that comes from... It first was in India, China, and then Japan, and the U.S. So the U.S. is following the Japan.
Okay. The major two are Thayana and Mahayana, and Zen is grandparent, or grandchild, way down there.
Mm-hmm.
But China recently has done a lot with the reincarnation laws and are affecting the Dalai Lama. Is that anything that ever comes up in random conversations at home?
Not really, I guess.
Or do you know what I'm talking about?
It's not just recently. It has always been that way ever since probably the 50s.
Recently the Dalai Lama has actually said he might not reincarnate this time due to the newest laws that are coming out of China.
Mm-hmm.
China has recently passed a law that if you plan on reincarnating, you need to file paperwork and they decide who you come back as, which is interesting.
But it doesn't work that way.
I know. So he's actually thinking of not reincarnating, which would be the end
but
of the Dalai
Lama. But how could he even think that he's not reincarnated?
Supposedly he can stop it, according to him.
Well, that's not my understanding of how things work, I guess.
Well, that's the Theravada Buddhism, so I was curious if there was anything that was...
Because I thought you never know what you will be reincarnated into. You could be a rock.
Supposedly he gets that special privilege. He's a very interesting guy to listen to lecture and talk. Looking down my list. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten to travel a whole lot in the U.S. since you've been here?
I have traveled a bit. Almost every semester, once a semester, I would go to a conference, a professional conference, and these conferences are held in different places. So, and then in the summer, I go on my own. I love traveling. I just spend all of my money on traveling.
My mom could too, so she went to school to be a travel agent.
Oh, good.
That's her way of
Is she
doing
still
that.
A travel agent?
She is. She runs her own little business.
In Marquette?
No, I'm from downstate.
Oh, okay.
So she's down there, but all my friends, I'm like, just call her, she'll give you a good deal.
Okay, maybe I should call her.
There was if you're ever interested, I found it the other day, and I was like, I have to do this. It was a map that you could actually click, and it would light up all the colors of all the different states you've been to, so you can keep track of where you need
really?
To go.
Yeah.
It was quite fun.
Online?
Yeah.
No.
Don't have the website for that, of course.
Maybe if you remember, you can
send it. I'll send it to you. And you could share it on Facebook so everybody could see where you've been. It's always fun. So what parts of the country have you seen? Because U.S. is very different regions.
Yeah, I have been to, I would say, quite a lot of places, but not enough yet. I can't remember. I mean, the neighboring states.
Have you been down to the south yet?
Georgia, Florida, down there, yes.
At least I've noticed in this country,
California.
You can have culture shock just from traveling from coast to coast.
In fact, I just came back from Texas. Texas.
Oh, that's different down there, too.
New York, the East Coast, San Francisco.
Did you get to do anything in New York? Did you go to Ellis Island or any of that?
Yeah, I actually did. We took our daughter when she turned 21. It was 2 years ago. The whole family went to New York. That was the first time for them, but second or third time for me, actually. It was funny. I took my American husband to New York, if you can believe that.
Please tell me you took him to Ellis Island just to make that even weirder.
We did. And he actually, I think he told me that he actually found some name that he recognizes, one of his great, because his grandfather on the father's side maybe came from German.
Oh,
he's Norwegian and German.
If you ever go out to California, the San Francisco area, you'll see Angel Island out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And very much like Ellis Island was for the European immigrants,
right.
Angel Island is where the Chinese came through for the gold rush and the railroads.
I don't know why we didn't make it to
Angel. You've got something else to go look forward to.
For me, the most important thing for me to go when I went to New York was to go to Broadway.
Oh, well, did you see any of the plays?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which one did you see?
Well, I think last time with the family, I was with my younger daughter, so she wanted to see Newsie.
Oh, I wanted to see that too.
So we saw that one with her. And then my husband and the older daughter went to see
The Book of Mormon? I want to see that one too.
Yeah, but I saw the opera. What was that?
Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, Phantom.
I was lucky when I went to New York, Les Mis was touring.
Yeah.
And so I got to see Les Mis on
Broadway.
Yeah,
I saw that too.
Which was amazing. I love Broadway.
Yeah, I would definitely go back.
I've been to New York probably two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I went and stayed in Queens with family. And so we did the local stuff, which was really cool and different.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot to do in New York. The newest thing I found out was the Tenement Museum, which you won't see any posters for, which is weird. They found tenement buildings, the old little shacks, that had been sealed up since those time periods.
Okay.
And they put them in a building so you can travel through the different
that's
time periods.
Good.
And they use it for educational purposes. And I was like, that's the next thing I want to do.
Yeah, another thing I want to go to New York for is the U.S. Open tennis.
The family I went and stayed with, the guy who plays tennis, he's actually one of the coach for one of the big schools.
Oh,
like the very wealthy. He gets paid like $1,000 an hour to coach tennis.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm still not that athletic. Have you had anything in your life that's made you think that maybe you'd rather go back to China, or are you pretty much going to stay here in the United
States? I think for a while I was thinking about that. Yeah, I think it's probably a thought, an idea that every immigrant thinks about. There was a time when I was wondering. When I first... I think I came here and then I didn't have money to go back until 3 years later. So for the first time I visited China again. Maybe that was when I decided that I was going to try to stay in the U.S. and continue with my education. When I first came here, I wasn't an immigrant. I wasn't immigrating to the U.S. I was just coming here.
So there was always the plan to go back.
Yeah, at the time it was always, I'm here to get my education and then I would go back. But after having been here for a while and then going back, then I found that I wasn't used to what I was used to before. And I find it more
harder to want to go back.
More suitable for me to be here. I'm more comfortable here, not in the... I guess physical,
So if you did go back, would you take your husband and everybody with you, or do you think they'd go with you?
They have to make that decision themselves now, right? My older daughter, both my daughters, I try to teach them Chinese and then make sure that they understand, they know the my cultural background. So my older daughter, when she was in college, took Chinese classes, and after she finished, she graduated, she took a year off. She didn't want to go to work or go to graduate school. She went to China, actually worked in China. She found herself a job and worked in China for 9 months. And then she came back, and now she's in graduate school. And my younger daughter has always bugged me about going to China. I used to take her every other year or something, so now she's talking about going there again. So I think they are definitely interested. I don't know if they'll want to live there. That would be a decision they make themselves. My husband will be a different story because he does not speak Chinese. He claims English is hard enough for him. So I think it will be hard to convince him to go to China.
Oh, I bet it would. You think you want to read a little bit of Chinese. Des originally took the class because he wanted to read more Buddhist.
Okay, yeah. My husband, I call him a typical American. In a good sense and a bad sense.
You always hear, when reading with things, especially with immigration, people being Americanized or to become American. What does that mean to you?
Oh, wow, that is a very interesting question. Americanized, to me, means the way I look at things and the way maybe I express myself, too. In fact, just not too long ago, I had a major awakening moment. There was an issue with a Chinese person, and I was kind of the buffer in between this some kind of conflict, and I was trying to help both sides, and I approached it perhaps in an American way, very straightforward, saying this is how I see it, this is how I think it can be solved, and why don't we try it? And that didn't go too well. And so I talked to my Chinese friend, who has actually been in this country for as long as I have, but he's married to a Chinese, and he lived in big cities, and they are circles, always Chinese, like his doctors are all Chinese doctors, and he goes to Chinese grocery stores, but he goes to work in an American firm, but then after that, it's all Chinese. So anyway, I talked to him about this situation, and then he told me how to approach it in a Chinese way.
Was that weird that you had to be told how to handle things in a Chinese way?
And that in the Chinese way is not as direct, but still you're getting to the point somehow. And it was a much better result.
One thing you talked about in your class is how the U.S. is very much a very independent thing, where over in China it's more for the group or for the majority. Was it weird adjusting to that here? Do you have any fun examples?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. One example in 92, 96, I took some group of NMU students to China, and we lived in a neighborhood. And then we were told that because we have U.S. passports, we had to report to the local police station to tell them that we are there. We can't just rent a place and stay. And so I didn't think that was such a big deal. I said, well, this is easy then. Why don't I just call down to the station and tell them that who we are and why we are here and how long we're going to be here. And then we won't have any problems. But our local host says, no, you cannot do that. I have to tell them. So I have to tell our local host what we're doing and how long. And then so he, then even though I speak perfect Chinese, but I cannot just go directly to the station. So I have forgotten a lot about that kind of thing.
Well, is there anything else you want to say before we close this down, or pretty much cover everything you can think of?
We pretty much covered everything we can think of. But I really, truly think that the world is becoming more global, and then the gaps are narrowing. I think it's much easier now if you're talking about traveling for Americans to be in China and be able to get around. And in fact, right now, just recently, I hear that the U.S. is granting visas to Chinese tourists for like a 10-year visa.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then the Chinese government is doing the same thing. So Americans going over there get a 10-year visa rather than just 1 year or 9 months.
That is a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Wow, that will really change things. Mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing how that works out.
Yeah, and then so you can travel freely anytime you want within the 10 years. I mean, 10 years is a long time. But you used to have to apply for a visa every time you want to go there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting where we're opening the doors to more people and shutting doors on other set. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice that we are starting to have this global friendship thing to talk about. So just in final saying, this is Erin Kilborn interviewing
ZZ Lemberg
on December 3rd, 2014.